Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start a worship service. If it's convenient for you, I ask you to stand as we sing "This Is Amazing Grace." 1, 2, 3, 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Amen. Whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in all our wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is a I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Here we go. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? I got one announcement, and then I think Miss Becky and Miss Kim have some. Next Sunday, we'll start changing our Sunday school classes, so the older kids will start going to their new classes, and I think that's all that is, right? Okay. Miss Becky?
I need your help. I'm over the kitchen, as y'all well know, and we need cornbread, potato salad, and coleslaw. More potato salad than coleslaw. And if y'all want to make some cookies, you know, bring them ahead of time. We need everything here by Friday because we're going to package it like we did last year. And we're going to be needing some help in the kitchen to package things. So if y'all would like to help, I would surely appreciate it very, very much. Next, huh? No, the next Friday. No.
The Friday before.
September the 9th. Yeah, that's when we need to have everything. Okay? Next.
2 weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. We still need water and pop and lots of helpers, like Miss Shirley said, and some door prizes. And if you'd like to help in the children's area, Sarah and Lauren are over that. And I think it's going to be a great, great time. So thank you all very much.
So I think y'all can read, but we're having a meeting, a WANA meeting. This is for everyone, all workers that plan to work in WANA. This Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. It won't be a long meeting, probably not more than an hour. You'll have an opportunity to get with your group, either Sparks, Cubbies, or in the TNT group. So if you can come, that would be great. We're going to get started and get this ball rolling. So thanks so much. We do start, by the way, on the 14th, which is 2 weeks from this Wednesday.
All right, we got a lot going on. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the things we got going on, getting started, God. I pray that they can be blessings for those all involved. God, I pray you be with us this week and just let us hear your word we're about to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you. Let's all stand if it's convenient for you as we sing, Jesus, hold my hand. One, two, three.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the speaking, said it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, he said, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus. Jesus, hold my hand, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Thank you.
a thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O word with heavenly comfort for. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still give that Him that leadeth me.
Generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, holy forever. This was our new song last week and repeat it today. Sing with me. One.
To the Lamb, all who've gone.
good in me. You are love on Misplaced the microphone, so if anybody knows where that is, help me out. Our young men will come and receive the morning offering. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord with us today. If you're here visiting with us for the first time, we would like for you to fill out a visitor's card, and whenever the offering plate comes by, if you would drop that visitor's card in there, and we'd have a record of your three. Is today the day for the? Okay. All right. I'm not forgetting about Children's Church. I want to give a sermon illustration before they leave about what I'm going to preach on today in 2 Thessalonians. Anybody got $5 with you? Thank you. Got an extra dollar with it. Because I wanted it to be passed around. How many fives we got out there? How about a one? Somebody else. You got it? Good. I like for the young people to get involved. Here's one there, but I'm going to need another one. Get it back out. In the church at Thessalonica, Paul writes to them his second letter, and he says their love for one another, their generosity to one another. He actually uses the word, he doesn't use love there in that particular verse, but he uses a word that the King James uses quite a bit for love. Do you remember what that is? Charity, that's right. He uses the word charity. Have you all ever seen The Hitchhiker on a $5 bill? Have you? This one called a ride. It's gone forever. There's a young man came to me last week, and he said, I lost $27 out of my pocket and I can't find it. I've looked everywhere, and I've been everywhere. I cannot. Was that you? You didn't find it. You found it? You're messing my illustration up. I'm going to do it anyway. You lost $27, and it gained $27 here today. There's 27 more. If you're a part of Children's Church or sixth grade, what is this? third grade through sixth grade, you can be dismissed. You need to keep closer count. Oh, I thought, what did I do in my Bible? I thought, what a great illustration that would be. We could give somebody back the money they had lost. But he doubled his money by being honest. Yeah. What was that? Oh, okay. All right. Holly, give him some little money. But that's what Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica about, is how they would take care of one another. Tonight, I'm going to finish up what I started last Sunday morning, but I'm not going to finish it until tonight. So I'm hooked up on 2 Thessalonians, though, and I couldn't get away from it. Because I believe that what is going on in our nation right now has to do with us. And I think that, Brother Greg, I think it may be going to bring about revival. We talked about that. I think it may bring about revival in the churches that are really seeking the Lord's will for their lives. I think that what has happened, and I hope that I'll be able to show you this video of somebody else preaching, not today, but he gives an excellent illustration of what I am seeing happen in our churches throughout the world. That there's two paths, and it's almost clearly defined. One is the liberal church, the other is the true church. And they come out of the church of the last day. Now, when Jesus is speaking to the churches in Revelation, in the third chapter, he uses this illustration on the wall here. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And when you study the book of Revelation, you discover that what is taking place is that Jesus is on the outside of the church. He's not inside the church. He's outside the church. And he's knocking on the door and saying, "I'd come in if you'd let me." But because of liberalism and apostasy, two different roads that lead from the church on many, many churches, he's standing outside knocking on the door saying that I'd come in if you would let me. When you leave the Word of God, you leave Jesus outside. You cannot. He said of himself, I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So I've entitled this message today, I think, I see revival coming. I see it for the church at Thessalonica. I think that was what Paul was seeing. They were experiencing revival. He writes about, he doesn't call it that, but he writes about what's going on in the church, and he says people are talking about, all over the world, they're talking about your love for one another. And you're facing persecution, you're facing pressure. But you're handling it with love. You're love for one another, love for the lost. And he moves on. So take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians,
the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. I really hope that you will take your Life Matters rally serious. I really hope that you'll take your Life Matters rally seriously. And you can't do it by staying home and saying, I hope everything turns out all right. You got to involve yourself. Janet Hall used to say, show up and suit up, or suit up and show up. That's all you got to do. There'll be something for you to do, and I urge you to come and be a part of that. We have the opportunity to share the gospel lots of times, maybe several hundred times. I think last year Becky said we fed about 500. We have lots of opportunities to share the gospel lots of times. We have an opportunity to make an impact in our community and an impact in some other people's lives. So I hope you will. And as we move into that, it'll be up to us to do our part, and someone used to say, and let God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word, and that's what He does. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and the first verse. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a pretty normal greeting for Paul. That's the way he would greet the church many times. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, and it is meet because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And here's the word that I talked about a while ago, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He was seeing that. And he says he wasn't the only one seeing it. He said seeing it made his heart rejoice, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he's talking about the great tribulation there. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Those that are lost are going to miss that from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, because of all that, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You may be seated. Paul begins his address here by talking about the importance of praise, and that praise is an encouragement. Now, not only our own praise, but when we see other people praise the Lord. It's an encouragement for us. When we see others involved in the work of the Lord, and they're actually doing the work of the Lord, it's not just a thing of meeting together, but having a time of real, not putting on a show, but real praise. So Paul says encouraging one another is part of that. And so he's practicing here what he preaches. Look, turn back a few pages, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and look at verse, well, for me, it wasn't turning back. Look at verse 18. And he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Is that easy? It's not, is it? But he's getting ready to get down where the rubber meets the road in the life of every person. In everyone's life, there's trouble. Everybody's got trouble. Tribulation and persecution. I think the church is getting ready in America. I think the church is getting ready to face more persecution than it's ever faced in its history. And so for every born-again believer, there's persecution, and there's going to be more and more persecution. You go to your job, and you're going to be singled out as believing something stupid. And then there's pressure. There's the pressure of everyday life. And I've said this before, and I tell people that whenever you're raising your kids and they're little and they're running around and they're still in school and you still got them around the table, that's the best time of your life. And a lot of times we think if we could get them raised, then things would be easier. Has that happened to anybody? For some reason, maybe it's just our bunch. God blessed us with three girls, and they were good girls. I think we're finding out some stuff they did that we didn't know they did. But they are good girls. And now those three girls, we've got 16 grandkids. And we've got our 10th great-grandchild on the way. And we can't get them raised. We just can't get them raised. We can't keep from being burdened by their burden. Every time I get a text and it says, Dad, pray. This is going on. We can't. Our heart gets broke real quick, and we go to praying. We were yesterday. Pray, this is going on. We're praying. Pray for this. Elizabeth's having a test. Go, let's stop and pray right now. Paul is practicing what he's preaching when he writes to the Thessalonians, because he says, this is what you're to be involved in. You're going through trouble, but you are to praise your way through that. Have you ever praised? Have you ever come to a point to praise? To praise? I've said this already maybe two or three times, and I've used it a whole lot since Noah's been with us, and we was fortunate enough to get to take him back home. But when we got the news that Bill High was getting ready to pass over, and I told Noah, I said, you remember the guy that we visited in the nursing home and he's having trouble with his speech? And yeah. I said, well, he's getting ready to go see Jesus face to face. And he said, good for him. And I was talking to Max this morning. Max's sister passed away this week. And I said, She knew Jesus. Good for her, right? Good, good. And we think, well, that's trouble, but there is a place for praise in all that we do. And everything that we experience, there's this place for praise. Now, you'd think, Paul don't pray for us to have trouble so we'll grow. Our preacher don't pray for us to have trouble so we'll grow in the Lord. But here Paul explains to the church that's the only way that we grow. Tribulation, pressure, and persecution is the only way that we grow as Christians. Now think about it. When do you do your most serious praying? When we were building the parsonage, we didn't have it all roofed, and it's getting ready to come a rain, and me and Mike Dishroon took some black plastic, and we was going to cover up the roof with this black plastic over there. And I've always been a big security cat about getting out on stuff and everything. Mike got out on that black plastic, and his feet went out from under him, and away he went. Now, you talking about doing, I don't know if he was praying or not. I bet he was. But I was praying for him. Oh, Lord, he's going to kill himself. He's going to kill himself. But he stopped right at the edge of the roof. The old boy was sliding off the roof one time, and he went to praying. Oh, Lord, help me. And he stopped, and he said, never mind, Lord. I caught my tail on this nail. But that builds us our when serious times, that's not real serious, but it was for Mike at the time. But things that are real serious in our life, real trouble, real hardship in our life, is where we grow the most. Now, you'd think, well, I don't want to grow. I don't want this coming in my life. But Paul explains to us here, that's what eternity is about. This is just a testing field. This is what eternity is about. Did I read verse 18? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, one of our best weapons is thankfulness and praise against our enemy. Turn over a few pages. Turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5, and look at verse 7. I thought of a good illustration for this verse this morning. I get a big garbage bag of some kind and dumping it in somebody else's lap. Not the garbage, but the bag for them to carry instead of you to carry. Well, that's what the Lord's saying here, only he's saying dump it in my lap. Dump it in the Lord's lap. Because he says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Your concerns, everything that is going on in your life, he says, cast it on the Lord. It is like taking some kind of weight that you're carrying, something heavy in your life that you're carrying that's got you beat down, and you take it off and cast it over on him. And that's a lot easier said than done. But what the problem is that we cast it over on him. We cast our care over on him. Lord, take this burden, this child, this sickness, this problem at work, this problem at school, this bully, whatever it might be, this problem with my child. getting away from God, this problem with my grandchildren moving away from the church and moving away from God. Lord, take this care. And you take that care and put it over on him, and then you do not do what I do. Do what I say. Don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. Leave it in his care. Leave it with him. That doesn't mean that you quit praying about it, or doesn't mean that it never crosses your mind or that you're not concerned about it, but leave it with him. And the greatest thing that you can do, and the greatest thing that I can do, is to pray about that situation. So one more thing. He says in verse 8, be sober. We're living in serious times. Be sober, because there is serious things in life. There is serious things in our families. When I talk about this a lot, that one of our greatest fears is that in this day in which we live in, that our own grandchildren and great-grandchildren will not hear about Jesus, that they won't hear about the Lord. We've talked about this quite a lot. Arabella is with her adopted family. We should hear about Jesus. We should know Jesus. Bo and Catherine are with their grandparents, great-grandparents actually, in California. Will they hear about Jesus? Will they know about Jesus in that situation? That's been a troubling thing for us. Be sober, be vigilant. These are serious days, serious times. We have an adversary, the devil. There's always going to be something that'll keep you from getting serious about serving the Lord. Always going to be something. There's something in the way. And you'd say, well, if I get this job behind me, no, it won't do any good. If I could just get this fixed, if this little thing that we're working on, that we're building right now, if we get this house in order here that we're working on, then I'll be faithful to the Lord and I'll start serving the Lord. No, you won't. Because when you get through with that, there's going to be something else. It's going to be one more thing. If I get my education, then I'll start. No, that won't make any difference. There'll always be something to keep you from serving the Lord. You know why? Because this verse right here tells us. First, it told us to be sober and to be vigilant. Watch. Don't be haphazard about what's going on in your life. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You already know this, no use me saying it. But he has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. When I was coming back from Harrison last night and she could see a big rolling smoke, she thought, over about where we lived at. And so in my mind, I thought, I hope it's not the house. And it wasn't. I don't know what it was. It wasn't anywhere close to us after we got home. But I thought after we got home, what if it was? Nothing. Zero. Zero. Your house burns, I mean, I'm sorry for it. That's a zero. If your car breaks down, the motor rods all come out the side of it, that's a zero. I mean, even if lightning strikes and it kills your cows, that is still a zero. I'm not saying it's not important. But you see, what the devil has come to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. Is he talking about stealing our possessions? Is he talking about killing our animals? Is he talking about destroying our livelihood? No. He's talking about souls. He's talking about souls. He's talking about those things that are really important in our life, which is the souls of men. The only way that I can be spoiled, stealing that which is important to me, the only way that the devil can do that in my own life is through my family. Because the souls of men and women and children are what are important. One of our deacons years ago, his name was Roy Olf, he's passed away now. I used to see Roy run down this road here. He lived out this road here a little ways, and he'd run down this road, turn, go out the highway running, big exercise guy. Now, I'm not saying this against exercise, don't get me wrong here, but he had a massive heart attack. And from that point, he just kept going down, and he died here a year or two ago. But he and I were good friends, and we were talking, and he was talking about the heart attack. He said, you wouldn't believe how it changes your perspective, how it changes how you look at everything. I'm telling you, folks, when revival comes in our heart and life, it will change how we look at everything. These houses and land won't amount to a hill of beans. It's those things that we can take to heaven with us. And the only thing that we can take to heaven with us is the souls of men, the souls of our children, the souls of our grandchildren. That's the only thing we can take to heaven with us. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do anything in your life that he can possibly do to destroy your testimony so that you won't be able to have a testimony when it comes to your family and it comes to those people that live around you. He'll do anything that he can to destroy that. I was visiting with a man yesterday, and he's talking about how the pastor of their church testimony had been destroyed by his own doings. Said, well, you know, the devil is out to punch where it would be most effective. I tell you, folks, he's been at it a long time. If he can bring sin into my life, cause me to surrender to sin, put temptation before me, and I sin and fall to that temptation and destroy my testimony, it affects everybody around me. It affects my wife. It affects my kids. It would devastate my children, my grandchildren. It would devastate my church. It's the same for you. It's the same for you. If the devil gets a hold of you, gets a way to get into your life, and you fall, it devastates everyone around you. Doubt against you. The Bible says that when we stand against him, we grow. When we take a stand, we grow spiritually. When tribulation and pressure comes and we take a stand against that and we stand up for what is right, we grow in the Lord. Most important decision, Mike, come and help us. Monica. Most important, outweighs everything else, most important decision you'll ever make in your life is what you do with Jesus. The world would have you to serve him in some kind of casual way. Not throw in everything you are, all that you are to him. But God wants it all. He wants all of you. He wants you to give him your heart. Where a man's heart is, there's where his treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. And if you lay up treasure in heaven, that's where your heart's going to be. So if you're not a Christian, I invite you to make that decision today. If you are and you need to recommit your heart and your life to him, I invite you to do that today. If you are feeling led to become a part of this fellowship, join in this church, I hope you'll do that. As we stand together, I invite you to come.